What is up, Blue Jays fans? Happy Canada Day Eve. Different Canada Day. We'll discuss that later in the show. But in terms of Canada Day and baseball, we have lots to talk about in relation to Canada's baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays. Craig, how are you doing, my friend? As everybody notices, we are down a man tonight. Adam is on the injured list, but you and I are healthy and ready to go. How's it going?
As long as he's on COVID protocol list, I think we're good to go. So, yeah. But on that one. Yes, our buddy Adam is a little under the weather and will be back up from the IL, I would hope, next week. Adam, shout out. We miss you. It's not going to be the same without you tonight, but we will be having fun one way or the other, but it's not the same. But anyway, Brendan, this is almost like a throwback. We broke our Cal Ripken like streak. I think that was on like 77 or 78 episodes in a row with the three of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Cal Ripken streak is done as of right now. But the other thing is, this is taking me back to when you and I first started this. And it's different. It isn't the same anymore without Adam. But we're going to try to make up for the lost and wounded soldier this evening. Craig, you named...
Plus the fact that you're on, like, literally, like, what are you, lost in the wilderness now? You're on mobile network. You're just calling into the show to host. And, you know, literally phoning it in this week.
Yes. Well, with a 4-day weekend upcoming, had to get out of the city or had to get out of the kitchen area and get up into the woods and be able to go swimming. But yes, no, it is a long weekend here in Canada, long weekend coming up in the United States as well for us. And there's going to be a lot of baseball over the next little while. Lots to talk about, Craig. You appropriately named this episode title, "Oh My God, a Trade Already," because that was pretty much my reaction when this trade came through yesterday. What were your original thoughts when you saw that the Blue Jays... As I wouldn't call this trade a splash, but for this earlier in the year, it's a pretty big deal.
But it's literally for the fact that, did we see anything coming in the next? I was expecting at least like maybe the week before the All-Star break, and we're what? How many weeks away from the All-Star break? About two, three?
Two now, yeah.
Ballpark. So, yeah, I figure as soon as they got back from that, or even maybe over that weekend, somebody might have gotten dealt. But, hey. This is exactly what we needed. We have something that, for our bullpen, Simber has been a wonderful, reliever for a while. And then you get a nice piece like Corey Dickerson, which clearly the money part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
But in all reality, who cares? We got Simber for a few years. Dickerson is a great outfielder. Well, I don't know. I know we'll get into more depth on that whole thing. But the fact that this happened already, this shows that they're actually serious about actually making this a go this season. It's one thing to have the best offense in baseball. It's another thing to have anybody that can keep you ahead of the ball game. And we saw what that's been doing over the last month for the Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, Craig, I got to read this comparison to you because you started to go down this road. The fact that they're making trades to address the bullpen already shows that they are going to be serious. Shai Davidi compared the 2021 Blue Jays to the 2015 Blue Jays. Before they made the trade deadline deals, saying they're like a mansion with a leaky basement. Fix the basement and you have a full mansion. I think they will fix the basement. And this is the start of that. This is the start of that bullpen that was incredibly leaky over the course of the last, what would I probably say, about a month now. The bullpen has been costing this games. This team has an incredible run differential, just like the 2015 team, but yet they're treading right around the 500 mark because they couldn't just hold on to some more leads and be closer to 10 or 12 games above 500, which is probably where they should be by their, is it called?
Very much so, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Pythagorean standing thing that they have on MLB.com now, which is kind of cool, shows that they should be like 11 or 12 games above 500 right now, but they're not. And so Adam Simber starts to address that, Craig. Where do you see him fitting in this bullpen? Because you've mentioned it. He's been a solid reliever. Not really a household name, but Simber was very much a trade target of many teams back before when he was dealt from the Padres to the Indians back in 2018 or 2017 when Simber was dealt first? But yes,
he's going to fit in really nicely as well. He's going to be able to – you're not all the way to the back-end guys like the Romanos and eventually, some of the other company that we hopefully have coming back here. But he is one of those guys that should fit right in just before that or be one of these guys that does step up when you need him to. The best thing about him for the Blue Jays bullpen is we have a lot of guys that throw gas right now in our bullpen. He doesn't throw hard, but it's also a completely different look than what anybody is ever going to see coming out because he's that kind of that wonky sidearm pitch. He's not quite all the way to a submarine guy, I don't think. But it is definitely a full extension to your. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing for the Blue Jays, as far as regardless of the fact that you got somebody like before Romano, everybody's done. I don't care what anybody says, because that is just the biggest change of pace in the world. You got one guy that's topping about 89, 90, and then basically almost triple digits with Romano. So it's slightly nuts, right?
It's nuts. When was the last time? I can't think. I was thinking about this on the drive today. When was the last time the Blue Jays had close to submarine or a sidearm? I don't remember. Loop was maybe the closest to a sidearm, but going that low to the ground, I don't remember the last time the Blue Jays had a pitcher like that.
I think you're going back to 1983, and the guy's name is unfortunately escaping me right now. So, but even when you get to the point, well, you know, the Blue Jays have had a lot of guys that are three-quarter slot guys, then going down a little bit more than that. Dwayne Ward was pretty much a sidearmer almost, but, you know, this is very exciting. Guys are going to first off be like, wow, there's guys that throw like that, especially the casual fan that's might be getting into the game with, you know, with the Blue Jays, just with the Vladimania and the Bobichette stuff and everything. You know, this team is good. So it's going to attract all those people, and that they're going to see this guy come out of the pen, and they're going to be like, wow, that's a little different. And then they're going to see that he's actually getting people out. It's going to be that much more exciting.
Yeah, no, Simber so far this year has appeared in 33 games for the Marlins, 34 and a third innings. Not a big strikeout guy, Craig, but and he's also not really a big ground ball guy. To a 2.88 ERA, a 3.32 FIP, and a 0.4 FWAR. So it's been a solid season for Simber, and he's always been a guy who's contributed at least a little bit, even in his probably most season, which was 2020, which was the case for a lot of 2020. It's the start of fixing the bullpen. It's a guy who I would probably say cements nicely into maybe the seventh inning role. And I don't know about you, Craig, but this kind of reminds me of Simber in a way. Not a sexy name, not a guy who will light up the radar, a guy who might get hit around from time to time. Kind of reminds me when the Blue Jays picked up Mark Lowe, a guy who was having a really good year back in 2015. And Lowe got some pretty innings in the seventh inning during the playoffs and even the stretch run into there. So if he can have an impact like that, Simber will be a nice and welcome addition to this bullpen.
Even to that point, he could be LaTroy Hawkins all over again.
Yeah, which you know, is okay, but it's better
both
than
of them did all right.
Yeah.
So that's going to work out well, especially and right now, if he turns out to be one of those guys for the Blue Jays and just continues the status quo with what he's doing right now, this bullpen's going to get very well, very good very quickly, because not only do you got that, did anybody notice that Johnny Axe is back in my leagues?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. And mind you, he pitched really good for Team Canada too, so there could be something there to that too. Plus, he actually has the hometown advantage kind of thing going on, being a Blue Jay fan himself. He wants to do good for this team. There's another guy you can throw into that equation that, you know, guys like Simber and what was that, Barnes, the other guy that we got recently from the Mets?
Barnes, yep.
Yep, so those two guys slot up going toward, you know, filling up that middle area there. And then if you can get a couple guys like Johnny Axe back quick, it just lengthens that whole thing out that much more. We were relying on too much on the Anthony Castros and Joel Piamps of the worlds. They did great for such a long time, but after that, there was just too many innings for them to eat up. And obviously, it suffered, and we just saw them get sent back down to the minor leagues to create room for Steven Matz and for Simber today, right?
Was that the move? I haven't seen the move yet.
I believe that was the move.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to have to take
And then the other one was the fact they had to make a room on the 40-man roster as they DFA'd the other Brevin, I forget his name, the bigger guy.
Jeremy Beasley?
Yes, that's it. So that was the other part of the move, to get Simber on the 40-man roster.
Yeah. Craig, you started some of those bullpen names you're mentioning, John Axford, Jacob Barnes, who they picked up. And I know there's still another half of the trade to dissect and go through, but I want to kind of take the conversation this way because that's just the way it was going. John Heyman and Robert Murray both reported today that the market for Richard Rodriguez, the Pirates closer, has been heating up a little bit over the last couple of days. And they very both specifically mentioned the Blue Jays' interest in Richard Rodriguez. Now, we heard a lot of interest in the Blue Jays this past winter. Some of it came true with the signing of George Springer. So people were starting to get a little disappointed when some other signings didn't happen, because people are like, oh, they're just being used as leverage. So I think you're going to see the Blue Jays connected to quite a few relievers throughout the course of the next few weeks before the trade deadline. But Craig, Richard Rodriguez is a bit of a stud at Pirates bullpen. And not many people might know him because he's on the Pittsburgh Pirates. But my goodness, I'm just pulling up his Fangraphs page right now, Craig. And as I scroll down, he's having a hell of a season. He's pitching to 1.78 ERA and a 1.2 F4 for a reliever. That's pretty remarkable. And this is the second time he's been upwards of in the ones for F4 in his career. So, Craig, how much are you buying this interest in Richard Rodriguez? And how much would you pay for him? Because he's a guy that not know, but it might cost an arm and a leg prospect-wise to get him, especially if they do this in the next couple of days or weeks.
Yeah, if they do that in the next few weeks, I don't care what the price is. Yeah. I really, at this point, you know, and I believe I read that article earlier, and I'm trying to scavenge my way to find it, unfortunately. But there's some guys on that roster that we could eat some money for the Pirates to free up and get somebody like Rodriguez back. So I think Gregor Polanco was the one that was the article for. And I think it was John Heyman that might have wrote. No, it wasn't John Heyman. I forget. I think it was. But anyway, it was a great article of some guys that could the Blue Jays could target. The guy they really want, but get something salvageable back that, you know, it's just money at that point for the rest of the season kind of thing. But it works. If that's how you end up having to acquire that kind of guy, and that frees, you're giving the Pirates two things at that stage. You're taking somebody off there they really don't need and don't want to keep paying for. And then you're also giving them some prospects in return. And then we're getting the guy we need for right now. And he would have some control for the next three seasons, I believe, was what I thought I saw.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
2024.
Okay, so either way, now that is not the Blue Jays sacrificing the farm right now for a rental. Yeah. You give them the prospects they need, you eat some cash, get that guy in this thing, and we continue to just blow the window open early here on the Toronto Blue Jays because this offense is too good to waste.
Yes.
Yeah. On paper right now, this is a better offense. And this is, mind you, with what, a week of George Springer sprinkled in? This offense is better than anything we had in 92. 93, the late 80s, 2015, 16. We are already on pace to eclipse all those offenses in Toronto Blue Jays history. So it's very, very special. I think the only offense right now that was possibly going to eclipse them was the 2003 Toronto Blue Jays. That was the year that the Blue Jays, Delgado, everything, peak of his career. They had Troy Gloss in the lineup. It was just nuts, right? So it was good stuff for the Blue Jays, but you can't waste it. You got to go after somebody like Rodriguez.
I agree 100%. It's I'm glad to see so much activity early with Simber and Corey Dickerson to see them address it so aggressively this early on. And if this is true, and if Richard Rodriguez, let's just say, is traded to the Blue Jays, I'm going to give this front office so much props for not waiting around any longer and being like, guys, like, we have a chance over the course. Well, because the Blue Jays, the rest of the way out, Craig, we've talked about this a few times. Here on out. Let's get the hardest.
Take advantage of it now.
Exactly.
Crush it. We've been doing exactly. Week.
Exactly. Make your trades now. Fix that leaky basement of the mansion and go on a run. Kind of like the 2015. And I can't remember how tough the back half of the schedule was, but I don't think it was overly tough.
We ran into the Red Sox a lot. Yeah. I think that was the thing. But we had most of the Yankees, I think, out of the way in that season. I think we might have had to play a home runaway series like that of the year, but that was it. September was Red Sox and
everything. Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. So, I love the fact that they're interested in Rodriguez. He's a great arm. Again, kind of a name that not many people will be familiar with if you're a casual baseball fan because he's on the Pirates and the Pirates. But he's a stud at the back end of the bullpen. So if they add Rodriguez.
The secret horse to that thing.
Yeah.
The one big piece to that whole thing is everybody forgets that's where Ben Cherington went to go be the GM.
True. So he knows.
If we are going to be making a trade with the Pirates, he knows the exact guys he unfortunately wants to steal from our farm system. But in the midst of that, it's going to end up being a closer to a fair trade that the Blue Jays are getting the guy they want now in Rodriguez. Like I said, maybe something in the Polanco ballpark, like we called out, and it was Nick Ashburn, by the way, of Yahoo Sports Canada that had this article. It was a great read, by the way, everybody. We'll talk about it a little bit here, obviously. But in the midst of this whole thing, though, then Ben Cherington is going to get the guys he wants. And the Pirates, I think, have one of the better young farm systems that's extremely underestimated in the baseball right now. That key Brian Hayes is going to be something special.
Yes,
and if you can get some guys to get into him in the next – they build that team up to hit 3 years from now, that's going to be a heck of a ball club. for the, in Pittsburgh for them to be able to do, you know, regain the citizenship kind of thing.
Exactly. Get back to the team that peaked at the wrong time in that division in the early 2010s when the Cardinals were amazing and even the Reds were pretty good. Yeah, Cubs too, exactly. So Pirates peaked at the wrong time, and hopefully they choose the right time this time around. But yeah, it's incredible to see them being this aggressive this early in the off, or sorry, not even the off season. My goodness, before the trade deadline, with like almost a month to go before the deadline. If they continue to take advantage of this for a while, and the bullpen gets healthier, like we got to remember that too. Baraki's going to come back soon. Rafael Dolis is starting to throw again. And I know Dolis has had a very up and down season, like extremely up and down season. But even he is a guy that you need back in that bullpen. You had Simber and you had Rodgers. When it gets healthy, you could have a very nice bullpen the rest of the way out. And that could lead to some nice winning streaks for this team.
Yeah. I do want to mention the other two trades that actually were in that article. I think you read it, right? But
yep.
I just think the Blue Jays fans will find this extremely interesting. What a chance in hell to unfortunately get done, because the one team's in contention, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals that they were talking about here, and possibly being able to steal Giovanni Gallegos, who is one of the more premier Rodriguez up-and-coming guys, but because he plays in St. Louis, people might actually know who he is. Yep. This kid could be one of the better relievers in baseball, and it could be insane. But to get him, now I was mentioning the Gregor Polanco thing, they have a ton of money invested in Matt Carpenter still. And Matt Carpenter could still help us out. First, second, third guy. And maybe there's something at least in the tank there for him to be that professional that Joe Panic was to the team. But with a little bit more going on, Panic, who was the flip side of today's trade or the other day's trade for Simber and Corey Dickerson.
Yep.
But then you get Gallegos. And then the other one was getting Ian Kennedy, but having to eat Lyle's contract from the Texas Rangers at the same time, with us eventually having to send prospects back to some fashion. But they thought we could throw in Danny Jansen, funny enough, for that St. Louis Cardinals trade. I can't remember who the other one was, and I'm not finding it because it was not in a chart like all the other ones. But anyway, that would be us getting somebody that's more of that back end guy, like that premium closer we were talking about. I think Romano is that guy right now, but that would be insane to see somebody like that come in and pair with him at the end of a ball game. That turns the leap, like you were just saying, to boom, done. And I'm not making any more house jokes. He says, this is reminding me of Tom Hanks in that Money Pit movie, and I don't want it to come into that.
Absolutely. No more this episode. That was a good find, a really good article. And if they can do that, which I'm sure they've already started doing that with this trade, by taking on Corey Dickerson's money to get Simber at a lower cost of a guy I didn't even know was in their system. Who was it, Adam McInavale or whatever his name is?
Oh, he's pretty down on the ways, but I wasn't even aware of that gentleman, so that's saying something. This shows how little I've been able to have the luxury of watching minor league baseball this year.
Exactly. Great deal. We even touched on the other half of it because we obviously focus on the bullpen side of things. Craig, the Blue Jays did get Corey Dickerson in this trade too. He is a guy who probably quite a few Blue Jays fans would remember his time on the Tampa Bay Rays.
And probably loathed slightly.
loathed is probably the right word, because he always seemed to kill the Blue Jays. Prowler, he plays some first base, DH, do all that kind of stuff. So kind of is a little bit of a logjam whenever he gets healthy, which I believe I read they're hoping for shortly after Corey Dickerson to come back. He's in a walking boot currently. But Craig, I don't know about you, when I saw that they were getting Corey Dickerson as well in this trade, my first thought was, Rowdy Tellez, you are in trouble. I don't know if that's where your mind went, or if you're maybe thinking with maybe an outfielder being dangled in one of these trades for a reliever, but pick it up and take it from there as your lead into this topic.
Yeah, Corey Dickerson is a guy that's generated a 13.7 career WAR. So there's something to that. He's closer to being the guy of his career averages than what we've seen for him in a Miami Marlins uniform.
Yeah.
So we've been getting, like I said, unfortunately, Miami is, and over the last couple of years, has been that place where careers kind of go to die, right?
Yeah.
It used to be. Remember that? Fred McGriff's, the Wade Boggs's way back in the day, where careers ended. But Corey Dickerson was that guy that got stuck there. And in the midst of that, this is that I think his career needs is being traded to somebody that can actually drive him as a contender. The catch being, the Blue Jays have a shit ton of outfielders right now. So, because you got to talk, this is a team that I honestly still think there's a place for John in this system and possibly on this major league ballpark team. So now he gets pushed off into no man's land to basically, you know, play out in Buffalo, right? But now, like you said, Rowdy Tellez is quote unquote the left-handed bat off the bench. I see where he is a better player than Corey Dickerson. Corey Dickerson's been on teams that have been close to the playoffs, in the playoffs, and so on and so forth. Rowdy Tellez has been extremely regressed this season, and I don't know because of his, you know, his approach or what's going on. So I don't see how you can take him when you have a major league ready guy that is a career 282 batting average. It's just one of those things I can't spell out. And then the worst case scenario on this whole thing is another guy that can help spell the outfielders as we rotate around the DH, outfield, you know, whatever it might be. But I do think there is a point where you got to get Corey Dickerson enough bats because this is a guy that could be an all-star still. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think he's what, 28, 29, something like that. Oh, he's 32. Okay, he's older than I thought. But still, 32 ain't dead in baseball. And he's a hell of a player. So, and he can play some slick defense in all the outfield positions. To your point, Brendan, I think he played some first base in the minor leagues, but it's not his baseball reference.
Okay. For some reason, I think the Rays had him at first base for a little while.
I feel like I saw that too. Maybe it was a postseason game or something like that. But yes, he was an all-star in 2017. That wasn't that long ago, people. And then he batted 100 years after that.
He's a solid player, man. He's a solid player. It's definitely a piece that can help them. It'll lengthen the lineup even more when he's in there and he's back, as opposed to having Rowdy or somebody else in there. It's a very nice bat to insert, especially as a lefty. And somebody, I forget what beat was, but they said that the Blue Jays were going after Corey Dickerson, even in the offseason, like this past offseason.
He fits their plan.
He does, very much so. And it's no surprise that he's a lefty bat. And then after they obviously didn't make the trade, they tried going to get Michael Brantley, another left-handed older outfielder guy. So this is a target of this team, and for good reason.
And it could be one of those guys that they feel like they know that last bit to fix it, too. You know, like we said, he's been off a little bit the last couple of years. Not horrible or anything, but in Miami, he's been 260 versus the 280s, near 300 that he was doing the whole time he was with Tampa. So maybe they know what that last piece is to get his game back. But the thing that, outside the Rowdy call to get him in on the roster, I'm still completely baffled on how you carry five outfielders that are this good is the other part of this whole thing. And I'm seriously wondering if this is the tipping point for Aloris Gurriel Jr. or sell high on Randall Grichuk.
Yeah.
Both of who have been on fire of late. Randall Grichuk is one of the RBI leaders in the American League and probably rightfully deserves an all-star spot. I guess I heard today officially that Teoscar's in. And so is he along with Semien. there was something that said that somebody I was seeing on Twitter that Teoscar was in that ballpark where he's got almost enough votes. So
he has a chance. He's made it to what they call, because the way that it is different this year, I believe, from years past, they trimmed it down. And if he had enough votes, he'd move on to the final voting. So Teoscar is very much in the equation.
Correct. Where obviously we already know that Vlad and Semien are going to be running with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
As they should be. They're two of the best players in the American League.
Yeah.
But 100%. To that point, though, I'm looking to who is going to be taking at bats away to give them to Corey Dickerson? Right now, I'm unfortunately looking kind of in the direction of Aloris Gurriel Jr. and Randall Grichuk. And I wouldn't tell you right now one of the guys is the more likely of the two. I'd almost give you a 50-50, maybe slightly leaning toward watching Lourdes lose some at bats.
Yeah.
And that's only because Randall Grichuk's been a consistent RBI machine.
Yeah, it's close, man. And if they were to not make a trade, and let's just say he loses some time, and you have Dickerson back, he's in the outfield, you put him in a DH, then still another outfielder has to sit because you still have Springer, Grichuk, Lourdes, and Teoscar. So somebody of those five will always be on the bench, even if Rowdy Plan and Dickerson's
at the sixth wild card in that, too.
Yeah.
Kevin Biggio is in that ballpark too, because is he going to be taking third base reps or is he going to be taking outfield reps? Right now, it's been a wild card on that whole thing. So now that's another guy in that log jam, because we've said it on this show many a times that Sam's best third baseman this team has. And that's because he can actually play the position, not so much hit at it. But to that point, he's been actually doing a pretty decent job of late hitting. I think he's what, at 250, 240 for a rookie? That's great stuff. But at least he's now one of the utility infielders with Kevin Biggio at this point.
100%.
At least until they figure out what the Corey Dickerson math is, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I just checked. He is a free agent at the end of the year. And I don't know. I know he's in Milwaukee. We're hoping to get him back at some point this year. I don't know if it's possibly a case that he doesn't even play a game for the team. I can't remember what his injury is. But that's the only other thing I can think is they're like, Dickerson might be done for the year. You take on his money just to free him up, stash him on the aisle and pay him. We'll give you Simber for nobody. So I don't know.
And that's kind of what we did because they still haven't named the other minor league reliever or arm or whatever that was going back, right? Just minor league pitcher.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's, you know what, Craig, to sum it all up, what are your thoughts? Because there was no negativity on Twitter, finally, at a Blue Jays move from this, because how could there be? Because there's a reliever that we don't even know existed in the minor leagues and somebody else who hasn't even been leaked. So what are your final thoughts in the on the trade for Simber and Dickerson?
You flipped literally nobody and somebody that was going to on a minor league contract. As much as I loved watching Joe Panik as a Blue Jay, he's not going to be the guy that tips this over for the Blue Jays to a super season for him, right? So you're trading it for a piece that's going to possibly open and anchor the team where it needs to be anchored. And that's what we got. And if we get something else out of Corey Dickerson, great. Or if we turn around like you were just kind of alluding to and do a fast flip on him, even if we have to eat some of the money and he's the guy that's the extra icing on the cake for some other team to take and give us what we need. Great. You know, for all I know, he could be the guy that's trading the Gregor Polanco / Rodriguez trade here that we've been alluding about. Yeah. He played, didn't he play with Pittsburgh too? Yeah, he did. He had some good years in Pittsburgh, bad. 318 and 393. Damn. 293, not 393. 293. Sorry.
Oh, you never know. It's possible. It's it was a great trade. It really was. There was nothing wrong with it. It was honestly perfect.
I got a glove too.
Yeah.
So, but yes, very extremely happy that they're making moves and they're that concerned about where the state of the team is currently. And I think, like you said, they see the urgency of being able to win these games now and be able to start running with some of this stuff against the Seattle Mariners and Orioles of the world.
Yeah, 100%. And that is
we still should have won all those games against the Orioles, though.
Oh, I know. I know. Sir, you get segue points. So that's exactly where we're going next. There's your points. You nailed it. Last week we recorded also on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday last week that we recorded? It was Wednesday, right? I think it was Wednesday.
One of I get in the head all too often to remember that shit, man. I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday, and we were recording during the Blues game last week. They ended up winning. And sweeping them. So, Craig, they swept the Marlins, and then they welcomed in the Orioles starting Thursday through this past Sunday. And to your point, they should have won all four games. They would have, if not for a bullpen collapse on Friday. Crazy how that always seems to happen. But they still did what they needed to do. They won three out of four games, and they've gotten off to a good start in the Mariners series so far. Craig, any final thoughts from the Marlins series? I know we kind of touched on that a little bit.
I should have been there.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they dropped the ticket prices down to $29 of American. So maybe I'll be able to get my ass down the highway.
Yes. Have you looked since they've dropped the prices?
I can literally walk up that day. It's sad. It's almost embarrassing that Buffalo's not out like they were when they were minimal capacity. But hey, tis what it is. The Blue Jays will be strong one way or the other. And to that point, it is at least seeming like a home game, regardless of, you know, all the other stuff going on. I saw like two Mariners fans in the stands yesterday on the TV feed.
Thank goodness.
That's a long trip. They can't invade our ballpark when we're too used to doing it to them.
No, I know, right? That would be a long way to go.
Unless Ken Griffey Jr. is coming out of retirement. What are you seeing?
That's true.
What the heck was it? I think it was minor leaguer on Twitter the other day said, I see London, I see Ty France, I see Robbie Ray's incredibly tight pants.
Okay. That would be a minor leaguer would tweet out, too. That would absolutely
classic Blue Jay Twitter.
Classic Blue Jay Twitter. But yeah, Craig, what were your thoughts on the Marlins series? Obviously, they took 3 out of 4, which is fine. I'm happy with that. But to your point, they should have taken all four games. What stood out to you?
Vladdy Jr. Player of the Week. Come on. Did you see the stat of how many home runs he has in his career total right now and his dad's comparison?
Yeah, it was it exactly 50 on the dot?
50 games to the game. 50 home runs each of them.
That's nuts.
It's nuts. How the hell do you do that? Because you scripted it. Somebody would have inevitably missed it by a hair and it wouldn't have went out or something like that. But both him and his father took 258 games. That's just mind-boggling. So yeah. I don't get it, but the right things happened in that series. The pitching stepped up. The bullpen was actually pretty solid for those two games. And off the charts like it's been. So
yeah, perfect. They took advantage of terrible pitching, to say the least, this past weekend, scoring a
I think the Marlins scored a whole four runs, something like that.
Yeah.
It was like nothing. And that's the kind of stuff you would expect with who he has the mound, but game of craziness.
Yeah. Craig, Ross Stripling continues to impress, and he pitched very well on Sunday. Is it a coincidence that since he – I know we kind of touched on this last week, but is it a coincidence that as soon as he figured it out, the rotation truly has stabilized a little bit, and it's getting even more stabilized tonight with Steven Matz returning?
Yeah, I honestly think the reason the bullpen hasn't been a glaring – oh my God, everything's horrible. Like, watch the team, like, self-destruct level is because of the pickup of Ross Stripling.
Yeah.
That he's been eating up six innings consistently each game now, and then all of a sudden you get that, you know, and that's six innings of the bullpen, and all that roughness that we were describing didn't have to worry about covering up. He was doing those previous, like, what? He's been solid right now for about eight starts, knock on desk. So, like I said, I am ready to send Chase Utley a cater. I'm not even kidding. Thank him for the fact that he helped fix Ross Stripling with, hey, dude, stop biting your lip.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? Like, my goodness.
How does he notice that? Like I said, it's not like he's sitting on the sidelines. He's sitting there like a jackass, like us watching it on TV. It's not like somebody's sending him Blue Jays inside. He's still quasi-hanging out in L.A. with the Dodgers, you know?
Exactly. No, it's nuts. It's been so good to see, and that's contributed to the better run that this rotation has been on over the last little while and truly stopped. Craig, is this the run that we were alluding to a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Maybe it was probably 2 weeks ago after just the terrible Yankee series, and we were just kind of all down in the dumps. But we look forward to this stretch with the two Marlins games, the four Orioles games, and the three Mariners games. So far, they've only been game in that stretch. Is this the run that we've been hoping for a little while? Because it seems like they're finally putting it together, but also taking advantage of weaker opposition.
It's not just the run we were looking for. It's the run we needed.
Yeah, that's
so the fact that we're, what, four games above 500 right now, if you were going to tell me that a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, what world are you dreaming in? And, you know, how much hashish do you have in your pipe? Any of these, you know, ridiculous cliffs you could have said in a million years, a few years ago, would have thought we would have been getting that consistency from Ross Stripling. This bullpen was clearly folding its cards. And it's just good to see that this is finally coming back to where it should be, because we knew this offense was going to come. When you're averaging six runs of games and you're still losing games, what do you do, man?
Yeah, I know, right?
But no, they did what they needed to do, and they're continuing to lock that down. And like you said, with Steven Matz returning, it's only going to hopefully get more, because the ups and downs that we've seen from Steven Matz, he was still more better than, you know, yeah, I'd say it was 60-40 Steven Matz awesome, right?
Yeah, no, or at least somebody who could be stable at the end of the rotation and just take his turn through every few days.
Even those rough starts, he was still getting five innings, you know? Yeah. It's not like he was completely imploding to the fact, like those couple first Ross Stripling starts where he was clearly doing the problem and tipping his pitches, barely making it out of the first inning. You know, you can't do that. We need to be clutch. We need to do it. We're far enough into the season that they have to put up or shut up, like right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tonight they're playing the Mariners again, and tomorrow. Tonight they're playing Justice Sheffield, and it is against Steven Matz. Has been terrible. His last, I think,
it's
four or five starts.
It's on freaking YouTube.
Yeah,
that shit.
So it's not Dan or Buck or Pat, nobody like that, but it is the YouTube broadcast. So far, they have two runners on, from what I saw. Is there any score up to Craig?
No, there's one out and runners on the corners for Mr. Teoscar Hernandez.
Perfect. So. Oh, yeah, just one out, too. I got it. Yo, okay, perfect.
There you go. So, it sounds like we're actually on sync thanks to YouTube for a change instead of being 9,000 behind. So yeah. There might be one good thing.
Yeah. Thank you, YouTube, for keeping us on pace with where the game is actually at. But yeah,
I just had this dawning light bulb moment because, you know, we started this whole podcast for the fact that Adam and I were sick of listening to Buck and Tabby. And then I kind of, you know, started doing that, just talked the whole game with him. And we were hoping to get more of this YouTube stuff that we do now where we can actually interact with the fans and stuff. I think next YouTube game, to save Blue Jays fans from the YouTube feed, we should actually just, you know, do our show live again.
That's not a bad idea.
Can have our own little Blue Jay party. So Blue Jays fans, next YouTube game, I think we're going to have to make sure we give everybody a nice warm place to congregate rather than hearing the random crap that's going on this broadcast right now.
That's not a bad idea at all, man. That's not a bad idea at all. But yeah, they should take advantage of tonight. They should take it. Well, tomorrow is probably going to be their toughest game because it's against Yusei Kikuchi, who's had himself a nice season. But also, Hyunjin Ryu is going tomorrow. Craig, give us a prediction, not for the games that we really predict, but the next two games, just these two games with the Mariners. Do they split it or do they end up sweeping the series and winning the whole series 3-0?
Yeah, I need them to sweep. I'm sorry to say that there would, like you said, with Sheffield having as many problems as he had, and I don't care what's going on tomorrow with pitching. We have our ace on the mound, and not going to be mean or anything, but he's been kind of rough the last few starts.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's pissed off and wants to come out and just be like, don't forget about me. I'm the ace of this team. You know,
yeah, it's not Robbie Ray.
Ross Stripling, come on. I'm taking this back.
But yeah.
And I think he can do that in spades tomorrow night. I really do.
I hope so, too. I'm with you there. I think they win tonight, take advantage of Sheffield. And tomorrow might be a squeaker. I know it's day game, Canada Day, but I think they could win a squeaker tomorrow. And maybe it's something like a 4-3 or 4-2 ball game, and they end up winning. They need the sweep, to be perfectly honest with you. If they win tonight, they're 6 games above 500 at 42-36. And the Rays are falling quickly ever since they
took over the Yankees.
Right? the team is trending in the right direction, Craig, over the last little while. It's starting to be fixed, the bullpen and all that stuff. But yes, tomorrow is Canada Day, Craig, to start putting a bow on tonight's episode for the two of us, which is different than without our normal trio. Craig, what are some of your favorite Canada Day memories from games? No, you've been to a Canada Day game before at the Rogers Centre, right?
I have. I actually went for the whole weekend the year that Roy Halladay made his wonderful return trip.
Right. Yes.
So, honestly, I think that highlight there, my favorite, just from, like I said, it's one thing for me to watch it on TV and enjoy it and, you know, being as immersed in Canadian culture as I try to be.
Yeah.
Being there that weekend, it was knowing that Roy Halladay was in town. There was different buzz around. Obviously, the actual Halladay, not Halladay.
Yeah.
But watching that whole changing of the guard in Blue Jays fandom, anyways, that weekend with watching Halladay come out in double for the first 4 or 5 innings, and then watching Jose Bautista flip it around in a heartbeat, hit a home run off of the dead center field windows restaurant, you know. That was perfect to me. That summed it up. And that was honestly something I needed to see. And I didn't really even know it until I saw it.
Yeah.
It was just a perfect.
I'm with you. That was a crazy game. That was the game when John Roush almost destroyed the umpire.
Gibby freaking rips his shirt off. I forgot about that at the end of the game.
After they went down a couple runs, and I forget, it was just some terrible calls behind home plate. But yeah, the 6'11" or 6'10" scary tattooed John Roush almost killed an umpire and John Farrell.
Yeah, and then Francisco comes out and ruins the rest of it. So
that's who came in and ruined it. But yeah, I don't know if you remember this game. It was back in 2015, before the trade deadline and all that kind of stuff. But the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, the 2015 Red Sox were terrible, and the 2015 version of Rick Porcello, kind of how we always joke about the odd year Rick Porcello. Porcello starts, gives up, I think, 8 runs in the first 2 innings. So that's just what that Blue Jays offense did in 2015. But the first, I think it was the first 2 at-bats or maybe within his first 3, Justin Smoke, 1 from each side of the plate, and just put them up and came out of reach. Yeah, that was fun to be in the flight deck for because balls were going out there like crazy.
It was the beginning of the establishment for for Justin Smoke for Blue Jays fans. That was the beginning. That was a key moment for him to become favorite.
I agree. I agree fully with that. But yeah, it's different, Craig, this year. Blue Jays obviously not being able to play in Toronto for Canada Day. They didn't last year, but there was also no baseball during Canada Day or the 4th of July last year, or at the end of July. So this year definitely hits a little differently, but that is not to mention, I told you and Adam this, and before we send our wishes to everybody to have a good Canada Day tomorrow, 4th of July, celebrate Canada Day carefully, Blue Jays, with what you do. With this news that's coming out about the dead graves and bodies that are being found all around Canada, of Indigenous bodies that are being found under residential schools. Canada Day tomorrow has a little bit of a black mark beside it, and we're not being sensitive by celebrating Canada Day and the Blue Jays baseball on Canada Day, but something that had to be acknowledged, and I just wanted to pass that note along to everybody listening. Celebrate Canada Day how you will, but just be a little mindful that it's probably shouldn't be as celebrated as normal, is what I'm trying to say. Just think about it a little bit more. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if you had any thoughts on that or anything else to add about Canada Day tomorrow or anything like that.
No, those are just the unfortunate things that history comes up.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It shouldn't have happened. But yeah, prayers and thoughts to the families and everything that, you know, all this news that is affecting, obviously. And yeah, our hearts go out to you.
Yeah. No, you got our support here on Jaybird Watching. You absolutely do. Craig, we are down a man for Picks to Click this week and our record predictions, but why don't we assign Adam somebody after you and I make our picks? We get our first picks for being
healthy. We're going to make him a pick? He's on a streak. Should we do that or not? Yeah. Adam, why aren't you on the Twitter feed? Come on, text us.
Well, last week, run through the picks, Craig. Who did everybody have last week?
You had Hyunjin Ryu, Adam had George Springer, and I had Bo Bichette.
Bo might take it with a homer last night.
Yeah. And until that point, unfortunately, to Adam's point, George Springer had a typical return, I think. He was there. He did a decent job, but it wasn't a, oh, my God, he's back.
Yeah.
Right.
He hasn't gotten hot. So, he has seen like a crazy streak, but he's just been, you know, sprinkling in a couple hits here and there. And Ryu on Saturday gave up 4 runs. I know he still pitched, what, 6 1/3? Or something. It wasn't vintage Ryu, but he still got the win. But I don't think that's enough to overtake your pick of Bo Bichette.
Okay, pencil in then. Bo Bichette, Craig wins. So I'm doubling you and Adam up at this point now.
Yep.
You two together tie me.
Yeah, true. So maybe from now on, it's who can Brandon and Adam keep pace with Craig on his own?
Which is hilarious because just to recall, I didn't win any in the shortened season last year, and that's we kind of started doing it pretty damn late the year before that when we started doing this whole shindig. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like that bit with minutes ago too of random quote from Blue Jay Twitter. I think we need to throw that into the show somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we can have another Robbie Ray pants joke.
Yeah. So who's your click for this week, Craig? You won, you get the first.
You know what? Just because I'm going to be this guy, because he has been riding a tear, and it could be the last time he gets a chance because the real catchers for the Toronto Blue Jays baseball might be coming back. I'm going to just say Reese McGuire. Fuck it.
Go for it, man. Go for it. I don't blame you for that. That's not bad.
So in the midst of that, though, for Blue Jays fans, for the update, injury update, Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk were both in the lot with the Buffalo Bison / Trenton Thunder last night. So, and that's being recorded on a Wednesday. It was Tuesday. So there is some steam coming back that Reese McGuire wants to keep that job. He needs to stay hot.
Better keep hitting if he wants
exactly,
to keep
exactly, because if he doesn't, he gone.
Yeah. So that is actually a very smart pick of yours there, Craig. Who am I going to take? Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. I know I took him a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take Teoscar. I think he's due for a bit of a hotter week than normal over the next little while. I'm going to take him. And you know what? The opposition for the next few games before we record next, obviously the game tomorrow against the Mariners, but then there's 3 still in Buffalo against the Rays over the weekend and through 4th of July. They have Monday off, and then probably we'll record next week, Wednesday or Thursday. And that's against the Orioles. So yeah, Teoscar for me, for sure.
There you go. That's a pretty good matchup for Teoscar. He always destroys the Orioles too. So there's that.
Adam,
can we just be nice and give him Randall Grichuk, seeing we're playing the Rays?
Hey, That's not a bad idea. Let's get mad at Randall Grichuk.
That was my other idea. I was like, you know, Randall Grichuk just always manages 2 home runs in a series against the Rays. Yes. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. So, okay.
But anyway, I think we should just let Adam text us and we'll let him rip us later.
Yeah, we won't be that mean and punish you for having strep throat, being on the injured list. But
there you go.
what about your record prediction over the next I won't count tomorrow's game because I think we did that in our last episode, but so starting the Rays series for 3
and three then
the
Orioles series
for 3-3. 3-3 over the next little while.
Okay. I think that weekend series against the Rays, even the home game.
It's the Rays.
I'm hoping for 2 out of the 3, but it is the Rays, and for some reason I just haven't, you know, like you said, to the point that they've had a little bit of a hard luck lately. They always seem to play us hard, and I don't know how the hell they do it.
I know.
I'm hoping for 2-3, but I think I'm gonna have to settle for 1, and then we damn well better take it to the Orioles.
Yeah, so. I think I kind of want to say 2 out of 3 against the Rays, just because they have been in a bit of a rut, and it is in Buffalo. We will not pitch
my catch.
Yeah, I'm going to pick 2 out of 3 against the Rays, and then I'm going to pick 2 out of 3 just to be safe against Baltimore, because there's probably another bullpen meltdown in one of those games. So 4-2 over the next 6 games against the Rays.
To that point, though, the Rays pitching has been pretty rough lately.
That's true.
Our offense has been clicking on all cylinders, and I think we just saw a single from George Springer.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Boom. Yes. That is
he starts
sign.
Barreling up. He's been just missing things.
Yes.
Missing. So it was nice to see him barrel off the lead off that inning. Oh, one for you. Thanks to YouTube stats. A mere 108.4 miles per hour off the bat. Square.
Nice.
Right in the, you know, excellent. Over the infield. Boom. Done.
Perfect.
So, good goal.
Yes. Us two just going solo or duo this week as opposed to the normal trio. Craig, any final thoughts? Any final words, both of our countries coming up before we record next? Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up with 2 claps and a Ric Flair?
Where it works. Hopefully in the Blue Jay game.
Yeah. In the Blue Jay game, yes, over the next couple of days, for sure. And enjoy your 4th of July fireworks as well, everybody.
There you go. So I'm ready for it.
Yes. Happy Canada Day, everybody, however you choose to celebrate tomorrow. And happy 4th of July as well to all of our American listeners and 2/3 of our American co-hosts as well. Enjoy the time of family, enjoy barbecues, and all that fun stuff. But Craig, with that, 2 claps and a Ric Flair.
Yep.
Woo! Let's go. Blue Jays.